Good morning, everyone. And good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. Today being Thursday, November 19th, it is just slightly past 9 a.m. So we will now start our meeting. And I would like to have a roll call, please.
Dr. Wolf?
Present.
Dr. Hunter? Ms. Cervantes? Mr. Delgado?
Here.
Mr. Johnston?
You can call me doctor. I'm here.
Really?
No, just kidding.
Attorney Young?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, introductions.
So I'll do the standard introductions. Then we have, we want to introduce some new staff to the board. And we have a couple sets of awards we want to present to staff. So the usual cast of characters this morning, the clerk to the board, Tammy Olson. To my far right, the assistant executive officer, Michael Thomas, and our attorney, Jessica Jarr. What can I say? So now we'd like to introduce you to some new staff, and the first introductions will be handled by John Robertson.
So I can totally identify with that blank right there that Ken just did. Yep. Okay, I'm going to introduce to you somebody you already know, Matthew Keeling. Matthew Keeling is the new senior for the Active Oil Field Regulation and Land Disposal Unit. Matthew has been promoted. So you all know what Matthew's been up to over the last few years because you see it a lot, or you participated with him in task force. But I'll recount just a couple. Most recently, Matt has been working on the anti-dig policy development at the state board level. That one doesn't gain a lot of profile except within the staff. He also participated on the governor's drinking water task force, which some of you are very familiar with. And a little while back, the UC Davis nitrate report, he was instrumental in getting us to say some things that were otherwise uncomfortable but needed to be said in the recommendations of that report. And then, of course, you know him from the Groundwater Assessment and Protection Program, or GAP, as well. Matt will be taking on his new assignment on December 2nd, right? And one of his first tasks is staffing up. He's got three vacancies in his group, so he's going to have to do some hiring. You want to say anything?
Yeah. I just want to say I'm really grateful for this opportunity, and I'm excited about being able to serve this agency on a higher level. I really feel good about what we do here, and I'm up to the challenge. This is going to be some new realm for me. So I'm going to stretch myself, learn some new things, and I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you, everyone.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So just to remind the board, because I know months go by between meetings, but this is a brand new unit, and this program, you know, for us didn't exist a year ago, and it's added not only a new senior, but a total of four new staff just to work on oil field issues. So this is the second new unit in less than say a year and a half, and the third new senior that we've added in that time period. So I think it's great for the organization.
Ken, could you tell us a little more about what this unit is going to be doing with respect to oil fields?
Well, I'm going to let John, because John's been working on that more, but it really has its basis in SB4 and the state board's involvement and the legislature's displeasure with Dogger and some of the things that have been occurring over the last decade or so.
So the legislature has commanded that the water board now become a participant in evaluating aquifer exemption applications to the US EPA, underground injection control, that is the injection of wastewater from oil fields. And then they've most recently asked us to look into sumps, that is unlined disposal ponds that oil companies or operators of oil fields have used to dispose of their what's called produced water, the water that comes up with the oil. So that's what the focus of the active oil field regulation unit is going to be. And I want to make a distinction. We're already heavily engaged with oil companies on the cleanup side, the reactive side. This is trying to get us a little more into a proactive posture with active oil fields.
Are we going to be involved in permitting any activities, or is it more like consultation and it's feedback to
Dogger? A little of both. So let's say, I'll give you a scenario. We're investigating sumps currently, unlined disposal ponds. That is not legal under Porter Cologne. Should the operator choose to permit those ponds, that's a direction we can go. That would be a Title 27 permit. Should they not choose to permit those, we would likely push them towards a closure scenario, a clean closure, just scrape that pond out. So
okay.
That's it. I should mention that right now we're currently planning to come to the board in January with a discussion of that program, what that program is doing. We're crafting, we're at the outline stage of a staff report right now.
Is review of fracking activities involved in this new
unit? Yeah, I neglected to mention. So SB4 was legislation directed specifically at hydraulic fracturing. We don't see a lot of, because of the geology in the region, we don't see a lot of hydraulic fracturing. The Central Valley, the West San Joaquin piece of the Central Valley sees a lot of hydraulic fracturing. And I think that's primarily what the legislation was directed at. We do not see much in this region. It's an exception to see it.
Okay. To give you a sense of the size of the program statewide now, it encompasses regions 3, 4, 5 in the state board, and we've added, the legislature's given us something like 50 positions. Most of those are in the Central Valley and at State Board. We have the second most now with 4, and then Region 4 has 2 or 3 positions.
So who is going to do what Matt was doing?
Who is going to do? We have 3 additional positions. Aaron Katana, who is doing our sound system today, is the first staff, and then as John mentioned, one of Matt and John's next task is to fill those next 2 positions. The announcements have already gone out. The announcement period is closed. We have the application, so that'll be first on their list in the coming weeks is to hire those people.
So with respect to GAP and some of those other tasks that I enumerated that Matt had historically worked on.
Correct. That's what I'm asking about.
Oh, okay.
That's a discussion that literally is going to happen or initiate this afternoon. The 3 section managers are going to sit down and talk about that after this board meeting ends this afternoon. So the earlier you end, the quicker we'll get to that discussion. How's that for incentivizing? We're coming to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, nicely weaved into.
I know. I tried to incentivize that.
Thank you. You know, you may want to mention also that we here in our region was the very first exemption permit application.
Right. I weighed whether to bring in that much detail. Actually, we had the first, what appears to be, and I don't want to jinx it, the first successful aquifer exemption application in the state is coming out of the Arroyo Grande oil field. We've reviewed it, State Board has reviewed it, and we both said that based on specific conditions, we think it's an approvable aquifer exemption. So that still remains to go to US EPA via Dogger, but it looks like it's going to be a successful application so far.
Mayor Delgado?
Yes, thank you. You mentioned that not a lot of fracking activity in our region. I was at a small neighborhood meeting where there was an activist pitching a referendum or a ballot coming up in Monterey County to protect Monterey County from fracking. Would, in this new department, would Water Board staff be available in the next year or so to provide facts to whatever perspectives some of these folks on either side of these issues have?
I would say that what regional board staff potentially would be available. I think state board staff would actually be more on the head of the nail in terms of being able to articulate what the monitoring requirements. There's kind of a two or a bifurcated monitoring expectation that comes with SB4. So as to speaking to the expectations and requirements surrounding hydraulic fracturing, I think state board staff would be an excellent source of information to potentially come and speak to a group or something like that.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, next introduction will be handled by Jennifer Epp. Oh, go ahead.
Actually, I'm gonna usurp that. And so we were just talking about happy promotions and things like that. There's also a bittersweet side to employment, and I want to acknowledge Allison Jones. And she does not know we are going to do this. Allison has been with the Water Board for the last 23 years, right?
So
22. So we're early in the Clinton administration, first round, when we when you came to work. She came to work for the Santa Ana region, what we call Region 8. You came up here in 97?
95.
Man, I'm close, but not on. Allison has been the face of the non-point source program for the last, since 95, basically, with the Salinas Project, the first go-round of the ag order, some of you may remember, in 2004, and she continues even to today with the non-point source program. But we've morphed, probably 45 years ago, something like that, we morphed her into we pulled her over to the dark side of site cleanup program. And she has become what we refer to as the closer. She is responsible for well over 90% of all the closures we do in that program over the last over that time period. And we would not meet our performance measures without Allison. And I don't know, I haven't figured out, don't ask me the question either. I have not figured out what we're gonna do with regards to her absence. But she's headed off to retirement at the end of December. And I think that means Arizona and Montana, right? Do you want to say anything?
Just a little.
Sure.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, John. I had no idea. So I haven't been in front of this board for a while, but I used to do it a lot. And I always enjoyed working with the board. I have a lot of respect for what you're trying to do, as well as the staff in this office. People are really dedicated and believe in what we're trying to do and protect the resource. So it's been a long pleasure working with all of you, and thank you very much, and hope to see you again at various points. So.
I was going to say, Allison, first time I met you was 15 years ago. We at a neighborhood meeting of concerned agriculturists, and this was here in Vienna Valley. And so I remember that first time vividly. So thank you for all your good work.
Okay, Jennifer Epp.
And if I could just add in, one of the positive consequences of being on the board as long as I have is that I get to watch the transition of so many staff over the years. I keep on thinking at times, where is Paul Jaeger? And he is so long gone, it's kind of frightening to me. But, Allison, I wish you all the best. And it's just been a pleasure to have you on the staff, and I've always enjoyed your presentations, and you've just always been very informative for the board with good information, and we'll miss you. So good luck with what you do next.
Thank you.
retiring. Jennifer Epp, TMDL program manager. And on the flip side of retirement, this is the other end of a new hire. So this is Melissa Doherty, and she is an environmental scientist in the TMDL program. She's been with us since August and is already off to a great start. I'll give you a little bit of background about Melissa. So she has an AS degree in biology from Santa Rosa Junior College. She has a BS in biology from our local Cal Poly. And she's also very close to finishing her master's degree from Cal Poly in marine sciences. Some of the work experience that she brings to us here at the board, she's been involved in some creek restoration projects through Cal Poly and their Coastal Resources Institute. She's also been involved in some local water quality projects, which is a perfect fit for the work we're doing here in the TMDL unit. She did that through the Cal Poly Biological Sciences Department. She also was involved with our CCAMP program, so our Central Coast Ambient Monitoring Program. She was doing field work for us, going out there and collecting all that important data that we rely on so much for all of our programs. She also has some work experience with Tetra Tech doing stormwater compliance analysis. And when she was at Cal Poly, she did some teaching. She taught biology, marine biology, and invertebrate zoology there. She's also a certified scientific diver, which has allowed her the opportunity to get involved in some interesting projects. She was involved with UC Santa Cruz on a kelp monitoring project. She's also done some diving for Cal Poly's Coastal Marine Sciences group, and that's included some invasive species analysis out in Morro Bay, as well as some eelgrass work in Morro Bay, involved with various species specimen collection, as well as some outreach events there. In her personal time, you can see an ocean theme. She enjoys spending time at the ocean, tide pooling, hiking, all the wonderful things that we get to do here at the Central Coast. And another very important thing is today is her birthday. So we're very excited to have Melissa join our team, and she's going to be a great addition to the TMDL group.
Well, welcome, and thank you very much. And the rumor had it that Cal Poly was circulating a petition to keep you there, but we're very happy that you joined the agency, so thank you.
So it's the month of change, so we got one more retirement we want to recognize, and so I think Katie is going to do that for us.
Good morning, I'm Katie McNeil, Grants Program Manager, and I would like to recognize Diane Glanville. She has been at the board for 17 years. She started here in 1998, and she could not be here with us this morning. She's upstairs, busy cranking through grant invoices and is on an important commitment. So she couldn't be down here, but that's typical Diane. Behind the scenes, really the administrative engine behind the grants program. She processes invoices for over $6 million worth of grants that we have right now. And some of those are monthly invoices, 48 invoices a year. She's making sure that everything's accounted for and helping out with all of our grants and contracts in the grants program. I'd like to acknowledge her. She's done an amazing job. She's a friend and a fellow colleague to us. And let's give her a round of applause.
So, Katie, who's going to assume her duties?
There's a good plan in place, and I could let the section managers talk more about that. I'm not sure where we are with communications, but there's a good plan in place, and she does a crucial task, as you know, and we have a good reputation at Region 3 of having organized books, and she's one of the main reasons. So
do we have a seamless yes. transition about
and
to
overlap,
take place?
Which is great.
An overlap. Okay.
Yeah, I'll let Lisa
Lisa McCann, one of the section managers. Remember that meeting that John mentioned that we're having this afternoon? Okay. Going to take care of that at that meeting as well.
So, Mr. Young, stay tuned.
Okay, so now we've got a couple of awards that we want to do, and the first one recognizing two individuals, John Robertson and Chris Adair, are going to speak.
Chris looks a lot like Harvey. So we're going to recognize Howard Kolb and Ryan Lodge. There's Ryan. There's Howard. For their excellent work on Cambria and far beyond that too. You know them both in other roles as well. I'll speak to Ryan real briefly, and then you can speak to Howard. So Ryan was responsible for the Title 27 pond application and ultimately the WDR for the Cambria drinking water treatment system. The schedule for that was ridiculous, quite honestly. They came to us with about 3 months. Typically, we expect a life cycle to permit of about a year. They're a small community, as you know, and they were under-teched as a community. So when issues came up, they were ill-prepared to respond to them. They just didn't have the depth on their bench to respond to technical issues. And so Ryan, on the Title 27 aspect of the permitting, he was able to sort of guide them through a lot of these issues. He would consult with Fish and Game or some other agency to help them navigate issues that may not be within our jurisdiction, but they needed to deal with. An example, you may or may not have heard about this, is they had a complex gopher situation as they were excavating for the pond. And gophers and liners, they're incompatible. And so we facilitated a conversation that would do gopher abatement and prevent the liner from being compromised by the gophers. There were other incidences like that that came up, and we navigated through them. And we're doing this as they're trying to literally construct the liner or the whole pond system. At the same time, he's trying to draft the waste discharge requirements. So everything is working on top of itself. And Ryan managed throughout all of that to exhibit great customer service and drafted a great waste discharge requirement for the pond. I'm just going to make one mention of another project that he worked on. Ryan and I served as advisors to the board on the South County item, and I really was impressed with the quality of his work, and that's not why he's receiving the award, but I just want to showcase his consistency of excellence. And many of you will recall a very, very late night or early morning with that item. And Ryan was through it all, had prepared wonderfully, and then drafted a great order off of that item such that we got the outcome we sought. So I want to congratulate Ryan on his excellent work.
So Howard was the other part of the permitting team for the Cambria project. That was adopted by the board 1 year ago, you may recall, in November. And actually, tomorrow's agenda includes an update on that, so we'll get to hear about it all over again. But Howard was responsible for the permit that allowed injection of the treated water into the groundwater aquifer. And we've never done one of those permits before. So Howard started from scratch, basically, using some help from Orange County, which has a similar situation, but starting from scratch, working with the Division of Drinking Water, the other agencies involved, and coming up with an excellent permit in very short order. So together, he and Ryan went beyond the call of duty, working extra, working quickly, and working well to come up with this permit. So we nominated them both for the Superior Accomplishment Award, and it includes this plaque, and it also includes a small, I guess you could say, cash award. So it's a small token of our appreciation, but we really appreciate all the work that they've done.
So we'll do pictures after the next set of awards, just to be efficient. So the next two individuals are going to be recognized from the Ag program, and Chris Rose is going to do the presentation.
Good.
Good morning. I'm Chris Rose. I'm the Irrigated Lands Program Manager here at the board. And I wonder if I could ask Monica Baracarte and Arwen Wyatt Mayer to join me at the podium. We have an award called the Sustained Superior Accomplishment Award, and that award is for consistent, outstanding work over a long period of time. And this year, we are giving the award as a team effort to Monica and Arwen. And their work with a total nitrogen applied reporting has resulted in really what I think is becoming sort of the crown jewel of our effort in the Irrigated Lands Program right now. You might remember that the total nitrogen applied reporting is reporting the total nitrogen, the total mass of nitrogen applied by growers on the ground per crop. And this is really a first time, not only for growers, but also not only this region, but as far as we know, the state and maybe even the country, to require this type of reporting. So really, Monica and Arwen had to build this requirement and everything that it involves from the ground up, and they've done an outstanding job. As a result, I think they have really challenged each other and frankly me to build this requirement and in the forms and the correspondence with the growers. And they've done so in a team effort where they've challenged each other, and as a result, I really think that they've made it better than it could have been if either I was working on it or each one of them were working on it individually. The result is key information in understanding our water quality challenges and how we're going to go about moving forward with some of these challenges, particularly with respect to nitrogen problems that we have. And again, it's a sustained superior accomplishment award. It's going to both of them, and as a result, like we've seen, we have a plaque for each one of them, and they received a monetary award. So I want to thank both Monica and Arwen for their effort. Thank you.
And in the spring, you will see the results of all the work they've put together, and I think you will be quite impressed with what they've done.
All right, so thank you.
Okay, so we're going to do pictures. So if the board members would come up front, please, in front. And since you guys are standing, why don't we start with you? And I was thinking, since it is a group effort, we would do them, both of them together at the same time. So. Jean-Pierre, would you come over there? Okay. Board members, stay there. Ryan and Howard. Thank you. Okay, that's it. Thanks. We've lost a board member, but I think we need, do we need the board, the other one to, oh, where is he? Oh, okay. Next, thank you. Next item is the approval of the minutes.
And what I would have liked to do if you don't mind, is that you know, similarly to when 9/11 took place, you know, there was a sign of solidarity that came from European countries, you know, joining to our concerns, and you know, all the flags in our flying right now at half mast, including the U.S. Postal Service, including the government buildings. So I thought it was appropriate just to have a moment of acknowledgement for, you know, what has taken place in Europe, specifically in France, and that our thoughts are with our friends in France, and join, you know, our governor, who has also actively expressed, you know, his concern and his solidarity. So just a quick little moment of reflection will be appreciated. Thank you. Thank you very much. And also just wanted to acknowledge that we're gonna miss your magic hands at the audio system, since when is officially your last day? Considering all the vacation you accumulated?
My official last day was in October.
Oh, okay.
I came today to provide moral support for the sound crew.
And I want you to know that I really appreciated the privilege to be invited at your retirement party, which was held in this room. I must say that I enjoyed the decoration much better than today. You know, the Hawaiian theme was quite nice. But I have to acknowledge also that I was very impressed by the fact that, you know, some of the folks that you regulated came to help celebrate your retirement. And I think that was a, you know, that was definitely a sign that not only you were a regulator, but you did it with compassion too, and trying to be a facilitator rather than just going by the book and say, okay, here's another closure. So that kind of resonated with me, so I want to acknowledge that. So our very best to you.
Thank you.